Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Thursday, the 25th of February podcast, Big Breakfast, Marto Margo, 10 months till Christmas. It was a fun show this morning. There's lots of fun coming up in this podcast.
Where the hell did 10 months till Christmas come from?
I just noticed.
Is it really?
Every day it's the 20th. Every time it's the 25th of the month, I think, oh, it's, you know, X amount of months
till
Christmas.
That means it's only 11 months till my birthday.
Oh, no. Not again. Hey, listen. Apart from the good solid stuff that you brought to the program today, and you'll hear that on the podcast, what the hell can you explain to people what I'm holding up?
You are holding a packet of the very new to the shelf, the market, Golden Gay Time popcorn.
That's just weird stuff. They were tasty, and I did get stuck into them.
We did decide it was delicious, and we have finished it, but we did decide what was better.
Caramel corn.
Just caramel corn.
Do you eat that, Dave?
Plain caramel popcorn.
The gay time one was just tasted like caramel popcorn with a bit of chocolate.
Chocolate on top. It didn't really taste gay timey, did it?
Anyone ever had lollygobble bliss bombs?
Oh, yeah. What are they?
It's fun to say, though. Yeah, lollygobble bliss
bomb. Big gobstopper type thing.
Bomb.
Yeah. No. Like popcorn, like caramel corn, but a little bit lighter taste.
Didn't it have like a lolly on the outside and then shell on the inside? Popcorn on the inside?
I can't remember. It's been a while. I just wanted to say it.
I loved a good warhead. How good
were warheads?
Sour warheads.
Are you a sour person?
Yeah, I like sour warheads.
Today was the day we found out Brisbane's the preferred city for the 2032 Olympics, and we had the mayor, Adrian Schrinner, to tell us what's in it for Brisbane.
The mayor? Oh, my goodness.
Also, first edition of what will become a regular on the show. Let's get into this.
Corey going stalkers, yeah. Marco bucking orders, it's time for At Home with the Parkers.
Isn't that cute?
At Home with the Parkers. Wouldn't that be an interesting place to have some
chaos.
Cameras?
It's organised chaos, but it's chaos. Today we got the swimming carnival. I'm so excited, Marto, because kids started at a new school last year. We couldn't go to anything. Couldn't go to any events because of COVID. And so, like, this is like the first thing as parents we can go to. And we're super pumped because Memphis got house captain this year. So she's going to be there cheering on her house. And they both have qualified for all the races. So I thought.
You do like to see your children demolish other children's aspirations, don't you?
Corey and I are both competitive people. We like to breed resilience and competitiveness within our children. And we like to encourage them. And they're both, you know, athletic. And so I want them to be able to, you know, give everything a go and do it well, you know? So I sat down with them last night and asked them how they were feeling about it and to tell me a little bit about what events they're going to be competing in.
What strokes are you competing in?
Doing backstroke, 50 freestyle A division.
Yeah.
50 breaststroke A division. 50 backstroke A division and 50 butterfly A division.
Wow. Wow. He qualified for all of the events, as did Memphis, both in the A division. So we're pumped in the Parker house. So we're very proud parents.
Now, you know my thoughts on all this. As a former swimming parent myself, I've been through all this. There is only one stroke. It is freestyle. That says it. Freestyle means you could do anything. If breaststroke people were faster, that would be... The rest of everything else is silly. If you can run fast, I can't cop anything but freestyle. The rest of it's pretend.
We did talk about you at one point, Marto, in the conversation. But I wanted to get a gauge on the kids because I like to cheer on the sideline of their footy and I get excited for them and I'm proud.
Don't you? I heard your footy one
and
last
so
year.
I asked Wiley how he felt about me cheering for him.
I'm going to be there cheering you on. Are you happy about that?
Yeah.
Are you really? Is it embarrassing?
Kind of.
Okay, so would you rather I did or didn't cheer?
Well, cheer, but not... Go, Wiley! Go, 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 go!
Fair enough.
Impression.
I was a bit gobsmacked. I don't sound like that, do I?
Do you remember last year, there was some sort of... might have been the year before, there was a swimming carnival and you came back and go, oh, this is what I did.
Wiley's impression
okay,
was
maybe
spot
a fair,
on.
Fair, yeah, fair representation exactly. of my cheering. I asked Memphis how she felt about the cheering.
I'm going to be there tomorrow cheering you on. Are you happy about that?
Mate, you yell the whole crowd down.
Okay. Would you rather I didn't yell?
Yes.
So you'd rather me sit there in silence and not support you?
Yes.
Okay. What about if I gave you a speech like this?
On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. Yeah. We claw with our fingernails for that inch because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the f***ing difference between winning and losing. Yeah.
that's a fair representation of a pep speech that I would give to the kids, isn't it?
That beats anything Laurie Lawrence ever came out with to Duncan Armstrong. No problems.
But wait, Marto, yeah. There's more.
What are you going to do?
Of course there is.
What are you going to do?
You're going to get out there and kill him.
Get out there and win. Rip up your shreds.
Mum's going to be there the whole time.
Oh, hurry, Wiley. Go, Wiley.
Oh, God.
Go, Wiley. Good boy.
Corey going stalkers. Marco bucking orders. It's time for At Home with the Puckers.
The Big Breakfast. Triple M.
We wake up this morning to hear that Brisbane has been announced as the preferred venue for the 2032 Olympic Games. Started off in 2019 dip the toe in the water, but it's come back now that we're the front runner. We haven't received the official okay. We need to ask a lot of questions. Have we got him? Is he there with us right now?
He's coming to us any second now, the Lord Mayor Adrian Schrinner.
Before we get him, so we've got Adrian Schrinner coming on. So 10 Southeast Queensland councils, they gathered together in 2019, the Council of Mayors, and said, yeah, let's spread the costs, let's spread the responsibilities. I think he's with us now. Adrian Schrinner, good morning.
Good morning.
Mate, we were just talking about it. When did you first get involved? Was it mid-2019?
It was April 2019 where I became Lord Mayor.
Yeah.
And but before that, the whole process started in 2015, believe it or not, 6th of March 2015.
Yeah.
So was when the...
And what was the notion? Everyone went, well, this would be a great payoff because we were all worried about the risks and rewards. How much are we going to spend to get what back?
Well, the good news is that the IOC has guaranteed a contribution of between $2 and $3 billion to actually running the operating costs of the games.
Wow.
Our cost is actually the cost of building infrastructure that we will need anyway. So this is better roads and better transport, facilities that people will use on an ongoing basis. We don't want a single dollar to be wasted on something that we don't need already. And so that's been the focus right back since 2015 when the mayors of Southeast Queensland came together to actually put this forward as a proposal.
Yep.
So financially, if it's going to cost us that sort of money, I mean, yes, it's going to go into infrastructure and make our city better potentially anyway. What negative economic impacts is it going to have? Because a lot of these games have been more a disadvantage to city than it has been an advantage, it seems.
Oh, that's exactly why the IOC has completely changed their way of doing things.
Mm.
So there's a lot of stories in the past where cities were, you know, under a lot of financial pressure to host the games. And that was back when the IOC would require everything to be shiny and new. And basically they had these really strict requirements saying you need to build all these new facilities and they must be within 20 minutes of the Olympic Village and all of these really big requirements. They've changed that completely. They've said it's okay to use existing facilities. It's okay to use temporary facilities. So that is a game changer, literally, and that will make the games far more affordable so we can actually focus on building things that we actually need rather than one-off venues.
Okay, well, that's the transport infrastructure, et cetera. Can I go through? Exactly. I hear a rumour that the Albion Park Raceway is going to be built as the main stadium and probably main rail yards as the games village. Are we close to the truth there?
Well, that's one of the options that's being looked at. So what the IOC is looking at is, are there good opportunities for venues in an area that's close to good transport, good facilities?
Yep.
So, for example, state government-owned land, that's what they're having a look at, things like that.
Yep.
So that's why that has been put forward, but that's definitely not locked in yet.
Right.
That's just an opportunity to have a look at. Further decisions will be made down the track on exactly where the venues are. But what the IOC has said, yes, they can do this. We believe they've got the opportunities to make this happen. We've got 85 to 90% of the venues either in place or temporary venues that can be built.
Yeah, we do have a lot of stadiums and facilities here in Brisbane. Obviously, the Gold Coast hosting the Commonwealth Games. Would we look to be spreading out the games down towards the Gold Coast? And even have there been talks of taking it up to North Queensland? How much are we going to see of it based here in Brisbane and across the rest of the state, Adrian?
Well, look, we definitely want to see a good spread, whether it's Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, Brisbane, everywhere in between, and then out to the west as well. But the other opportunity is there will be teams arriving from overseas that will begin training years in advance. And so they'll set up, they can come to Australia, they will set up in various places across the nation and across the state, and they'll be training. They'll get acclimatised. Because obviously, you know, Brisbane has a different climate to many parts of the world, and they start their training in advance.
They'll be living amongst us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then there's also the fact that from today, Brisbane, Queensland, our region, will be on everyone's lips around the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, the amount of free publicity that the next 11 years will bring is impossible to calculate.
Yeah,
you couldn't
gotcha.
Buy that amount of advertising for a city and for a state.
Hey, Adrian, when do we get, like today, where as of today, we're preferred front runner, whatever you want to call it. When do we upgrade to this?
The winner is Brisbane.
When do we get that sort of announcement? Is that mid-year?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, look, we are, at the moment, the preferred candidate. So I think now's the time to start celebrating. There's obviously a lot of work to be done, but what do you reckon? Let's declare tomorrow a public holiday. You up for that?
I'm always up for a public holiday.
We try and get a public holiday at least once a month, Adrian.
Adrian, I might have to ask the Premier about that one.
Now, Adrian, when you're in these meetings, keep pushing for, you know, they have a couple of sports that are peculiar to each show, particular to each Olympics. Let's go rugby league if the Landies will want to get involved, and we'll win a certain gold medal. Go, Aussie!
I like the idea. I like the idea.
Thank you.
You would have heard, I think it's Tokyo, that they're doing breakdancing or something as a demonstration.
That's not a sport. That is not a sport. Adrian Schrenner, you're a champion. Speak soon.
Thanks, guys. The Big Breakfast,
Triple M. Oh, there I was minding my business Tuesday afternoon at the pool doing some laps. The kids have got their swimming carnival today, so they wanted to get in some extra practice.
Oh,
so I took them down to the local pool to do some laps. And lo and behold, two gentlemen got into a bit of a stink because one cut the other one off in the lane. He was most upset.
Can I check? This does happen, and I've heard about it. Did they overtake or did they have a head-on accident?
I tried to overtake, and then I think the guy that was in front wasn't okay with being overtaken, so he went a bit faster, and then they kind of collided. And so then it was all on like Donkey Kong, and one of them said, "What are you doing, you idiot?" And the other one was like, "They know me here. Don't start anything."
In the pool still when they were yelling?
In the pool still, yeah. And the other one said, "Oh, you think you're better than everyone because you come here all the time. You're a bully.
In
you're
a
lane bully.
A lane bully.
A swimming lane bully." Because there isn't a certain amount. And I was trying to teach my kids this because it's the first time they've ever done laps at a public pool.
Yeah, you've got to be
of course.
Etiquette.
They've got squat in certain lanes and they say, "Oh, you know, 5, 6, and 7 is free laps. You know, go for it." But you've got to enter in the pool at the end. My kids want to dive in from the middle. You've got to go one at a time. They want to race each other down the lanes in both lanes.
So
I had to kind of say, "Look, you got to stay one behind each, you know, the other."
Yep.
And then this played out right in front of their eyes. So they learned very quickly, you know, because of these two gentlemen that weren't
any
happy.
pushy, punchy.
No physical pushy, but yelling. And then one of the guys said, "Oh, you don't need to swear and carry on. There's kids around." And he goes, "Well, this is your fault. You know, we're going too slow." And then you didn't like I was going to overtake you. So then you sped up and it carried then down the pool to the end. One of them then got out. He said, "I'm going to go and tell on you." And he went and told the front desk.
These are growing men.
I would say that one was late 40s. One might have been mid 50s. Oh. And there was a lot of pointing and a bit of yelling.
Were they in speedos?
One had like the slick, what are the knee length ones? Like the bike pants, and the other, the older gentleman was in speedos and a swimming cap.
So it would have been one of those fights like Borat, you know, when they were wrestling in the nude. Like, got to get some clothes on before you fight.
Oh, but it was funny.
It didn't come to blows?
Nothing came to blows I was aware of. But when I left, like an hour later, the guy that had been kicked out that was carrying on and swearing,
he
got asked to leave the pool. And he was most upset because the other guy got to stay. Oh. He's like, "Why does he get to stay? Oh, I have to go. He's the one that did the wrong thing."
Like a nightclub.
It was. And then when I left, like an hour later, he was waiting out the front.
Oh, he's going to continue it on.
Standing there still in his bike shorts.
No, mate.
With his arms crossed. And I said to him, "You're better than that. Go home. Don't waste your time."
That's so nice.
And he goes, "No, if I don't teach him, no one will. He'll continue to bully people in the pool."
Oh, no. So you tried to defuse the situation and he wouldn't let it go.
Well, I had the kids with me, so I couldn't say a lot. But I wanted to stop down and just say, "You okay? Look, I know you're taking this very seriously, but it's just swimming laps in the pool." Jesus. Carried on like a pork chop.
Yeah, that's right.
Public disputes. What have you seen? What did you get involved in? I mean, I know road rage is one thing, and I've experienced a lot of that in the last week. I'm not happy about it. But anyway, road rage is one thing. But what public disputes have you seen?
I tell you, you'd find a fair few outside courthouses, boat ramps, sports after grand finals too.
Oh,
especially kids.
My team beat yours. Our team's better than yours.
We don't want to hear anyone getting, but just
no, we don't want to hear anyone
nothing
getting
too dark.
But just
petty.
Something funny that you watched. And it was petty. It was so petty. It's like, oh, you cut me off in the
shopping
lane.
Center car parks. You know where you do see them, the surfers. If you cut off some of it, they'll wait for half an hour. They'll stand on the beach waiting for that bloke who cut him off to come in. Then it'll carry on in the car park. I've seen punches thrown.
No.
I've seen people donged with a board.
Surfers are like placid people, aren't they? Just hanging out there, chilling,
just catching
a wave.
Down that southern end of the Gold Coast, it is ruthless because they all think they own all the waves.
Is it like Snapper Rocks, D-Bar, sort of area they tend to hang out, don't they?
Yeah, baby. But you saw one at a pool the other day.
Well, yeah, doing laps at the pool.
Isn't that a calming thing?
It was so innocent, you know, like, well, you're just staring at that white line, you know, just ticking the arms
in
over.
The zone.
And then you see out the corner of your eye and your goggles someone trying to overtake you and you're not happy about it.
But if you've ever been in a triathlon at the swim start, you'd know getting kicked in the face and the shoulder by people going past you is awful.
It's pretty awful.
You weren't expecting that.
No. 1-3-3-5-3
I wish they had a stink.
Public disputes. Dave from Redcliffe, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, team?
Yeah, good. Public disputes. Have you been a part of one, or did you see one?
Oh, no, I was part of it. I took my nephew to Scarborough Swim Pool to do a few laps one night.
Right.
And back at the time, the pool was full of future Olympians, like Liesl Jones. They were all there.
Oh, proper,
they all swim 500 laps. Anyway, I'm on about my 20th lap, and I hear this almighty scream. And it's my nephew trying to drown a guy who he thought was me. He'd caught up to him and jumped on his back and was holding him underwater. And this guy's screaming and carrying on.
Oh, God.
My nephew got told to get out of the pool. The poor bugger, the guy he was trying to drown had done over 300 laps that night.
Oh, no.
And he struggled to get out of the pool. But when we left the pool, the guy was still sitting in his car and he wasn't happy.
Oh, dear.
Dave, how old was your nephew at that stage?
He was about 14 and he was a little larrikin.
Did his swimming career ever go any further?
No, but I tell you what, he met a few of the people there that night that become Olympians. So, good one.
Etched in his mind for forever. Ryan from Parkwood, public disputes. Were you in one or did you see one?
I wasn't in one.
You witnessed it.
But I was sort of next to one.
What happened, Ryan?
Oh, there was two ladies. I don't know what was going on with them, but there were two ladies. They were just, I don't know what the problem was, but they were just getting involved in something.
Where were we, Ryan?
At school.
Yeah, at a school car park. After school pickup?
Yeah, after school pickup,
In the school car park. It's a bit of a nightmare in there, isn't it? No one ever lets you out. What I've learned in the school car park is you don't go in forwards because when you're trying to reverse out, they just keep driving past you and nobody lets you in. So you've got to go in backwards, reverse park in, and then you've got to just nudge out. You've got to take your opportunity when it seizes the moment.
Listen to Ronnie on the burner phone. A few years ago in Sydney, this is a bit like yours, a guy took this lady's car park as she was reversing in. You know how they just zip straight?
That's so annoying.
He got out and said, you can do that when you're in a small car. She then reversed straight into his car, smashing it, and said, you can do that when you've got money.
Oh, dear. Hey, I reckon I might give a double pass to Dracula's dinner and a show to Dave from Red.
Yes,
the pool story. Don't miss the ultimate entertainment experience and night out with Muertos at Dracula's Gold Coast, draculas.com.au.
Is Ryan still telling his story?
No.
Triple M's Big
Breakfast. Time for our favourite comedian, Amos Gill. Hello, mate.
Oh, g'day, Tim. I know how much that hurt you to say, mate. He tried the intro before. He called me his favourite chuckling funster. Like, he doesn't know what to say.
Marta's a Carl Barron man.
don't you ever say that.
Okay, sorry.
Don't you ever say that.
Oh, Amos.
Hey, let's talk about,
good to have
let's
you
talk
back,
about the real
mate.
Jokers.
What's going on?
Well, I want to talk about my favourite comedians, the anti-vax community. there's not much I can do that is funnier than these illustrious individuals these anti-science friends of ours. There's rallies that have gone around everywhere. Have you guys paid attention to them?
Yeah, but I like the fact that they're still moving as opposed to Extinction Rebellion, which are very immobile, stationary, glue-based protests.
No, did you see them do their interpretive dance of Michael Jackson's Thriller just recently here in Brisbane yesterday?
Were they the Extinction Rebellion guys?
Extinction Rebellion.
Oh, they've lost
it. Yeah, what are the anti-vaxxers up to?
Well, the anti-vaxxers, one in three now say, across the country, believe it or not, that they will not take the vaccine. They don't want to. And I was listening to them, and I looked at them, and I thought, this is an interesting group of people. It's mostly bogans and hippies that have come together, okay? And we need them to be vaccinated so we can get life going again. We can get back to the footy and all that sort of stuff. So here's my plan. I think we've got to force vaccinations, and this is my way of going about it. What do bogans like?
Okay, doing burnouts.
Durries, beer, yeah burnouts.
No. No, they like tattoos, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's what I reckon we do. We get the government to start spiking all the tattoo guns. All right?
Spike the heat.
I reckon that's a good plan where we go, oh, the government's offering free tats, and then it'll just be these blokes walking around like, yeah, check out my Southern Cross, mate. I got it back on Medicare, you know? I got a rebate.
So you're not going to get coronavirus for any bikies. Like, you get in a blue with a bikie, well, that won't worry me. If He's vaccinated.
If you put the vaccine in the tattoo needle, does that mean they spell no regrets properly?
Yeah, well, that's one less regret to have.
Oh, they spell check as
vaccinated.
Well.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
What else do they like? Margo, we've spoken about this before. I used to have a Byron Bay ex. A lot of those anti-vaxxer chicks I know, they like their lip filler. Well, what are we going to fill their lips with?
Oh.
Vaccine.
Yeah. Don't put a vaccine in me. Just put botulism in me, which is also a toxin.
We'll shoot the vaccine into their face.
Oh, that's
okay?
Great. What about about the divorce cougars? Can we throw them into their new boobs? Like just vaccinate two big boobs worth of
just COVID bolt-ons.
She's got 450 cc's of no corona. ScoMo took the vaccine first. I don't know if you also watched that. He took the first one. This is a good plan. I think that in future, the Prime Minister should have to test every new drug that is legalised in the country. You know, I reckon when we get weed legalised in this country, ScoMo's got to rip a fat bong in Parliament. Just so we all know it's safe, you know, just so we can give it a go.
Dan Andrews coming under a bit of a fire, Amos Gill, for not having received the vaccine yet. What's going on there?
Well, he's certainly received something. His eyes are goggled out of all recognition. So.
He's too busy being on the new season of maths, apparently.
Oh, God. Can you take it orally? You know how some medicines you can take your needle, some orally. Imagine if you offered free beer and dropped it into that. You'd get 75% of the population.
That's called ice, Marto. That's different.
I'll throw that in.
It would improve the taste of VB, wouldn't it?
So. Yes.
That's another drug the government seems to be endorsing.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
David Attenborough, one of the greatest living Britons and probably the greatest natural historian at 94 years of age, about to turn 95, still rallying against climate change. He's quite amazing.
Please make no mistake. Climate change is the biggest threat to security that modern humans have ever faced.
Do you reckon he and Ray Rabs Warren are the two like most impersonated voices, I reckon?
And Richie Beno. People used to think they could do that. We should do something with that one day.
Well, I'm really good at Trump if you ever need a Trump.
No, you're not really good at Trump.
Say China.
Super duper models.
China. Okay, this isn't about you. It's about David Attenborough. And how he always rallying. And then, of course, the other great Briton that's in his 90s and he's not well. He's still in hospital with that kidney infection.
But the Duke of Edinburgh is comfortable and responding to treatment according to Buckingham Palace, but the palace won't confirm what illness it is.
Well, I've heard it's a kidney infection. Anyway, quite simply, David Attenborough, what he likes to do is before a species becomes endangered, like Prince Philip, he likes to film a little episode going, we've got to get last footage of this thing. And then, so he went, even at the age of 94, he rang his TV camera crew, and I've got exclusive audio of him going into Prince Philip's room and shooting the last known documentary on the Queen's husband.
And here we have, in his hospital bed, the royal fossil hiding behind his wife of 63 years. He's the perfect specimen of the ruling upper class, never dug a hole, picked up a dog shit. Now we just wait, watching him wee himself until he expires. All of his relatives will gather and lie and say they loved him and will miss him. A very sad reality.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Is it Thursday?
Yeah.
Well, try this. We started it about 5 or 6 weeks ago, Margo, and we just went, God, everyone's parents, just, even if they're straight 180s, they all do weird things.
Yeah, and sometimes it borders on child abuse, like pouring chlorine on you or something, metho. What was it? Metho for the sunburn.
Oh, sunburn. Yeah, what was that guy's? His dad used to rub something on it to cure it.
Rub something on it. My mum used to do some weird, crazy things. I mean, she still does.
My dad used to mow twice a week at this time of year. Like, he'd go, oh, needs another mower. I said,
what are you talking about, Marto? You mow 2 times a week at this time of year.
Let's play some of last week's highlights.
Well, my old man used to stop at red lights when we're driving. He'll turn the car off, pull out the key and clean his ears out.
Grandma would rub the steak on the wart, then take it back to Brisbane where she'd bury it in the yard. So the spirit of the wart would not make it back to the Gold Coast and the wart would disappear.
Oh, and did the wart disappear?
Yeah, actually it did.
I think we worked out, wasn't there a dog with warts all over its face somewhere?
Albeit weird. Some of them are actually pretty good suggestions. Yeah. None that I'd thought of. And I was like, I should do that as a parent. I can only imagine what my kids in 10, 15 years will say about me and weird stuff I did.
And judging by the number of calls we get, the segment will still be going in 15 years. 1-3-3-5-3. The weird things. Think about your normal parents, but what the weird things they do.
Seems to be a vicious cycle of learned behaviour.
Call now.
Parents passing down their weird things.
On 1-3-3-5-3. Or don't forget, you can text Marto's burner phone 0484 10 1045. What are the weird things your parents did? Do you have a prize up for grabs?
Anthony's text through on the burner phone, Marto, 0484 10 1045. He said, if you sniffed at my grandma's house when we were kids, she would make you eat a Vegemite and Vicks sandwich.
So that Vicks vapor rub that you used to put on your chest.
Yeah.
The camphor and stuff.
She put it on a sandwich.
Sandwich.
But, like, use it as butter.
Wow, what an evil old woman.
Tracy. Tracy from Flagstone, 133353. What weird things did your parents do?
Oh, our parents, we had those beautiful white rabbits as pets for kids when we were kids.
That's
lovely.
Cute.
Lovely.
They were beautiful and we had babies and we were breeding them for a while, but as kids do, we got bored and stopped looking after them.
Mm.
So unfortunately, one night we had this amazing stew for dinner. What is it? It was rabbit stew.
Rabbit stew, Tracy.
Well, wouldn't they say it's chicken or something?
They said it was chicken, but we knew that it definitely was rabbit.
They thought, we'll teach you. You don't want to look after your rabbits anymore. We'll make you eat them.
Did your name? Did the rabbit? Did dinner have names? Like, was it Steve and Bugs. Julie the rabbit? Like, did they have names?
Yeah. They had names. It was devastating, and I will never forget it.
You okay, Trace?
Still here?
Have you recovered, Tracy?
I have, but yes, it will. I'll take that one to the grave for sure.
Goat stew's bloody nice too, Trace, and you can pick them up cheap. Little baby goats.
Stop it. Shane from the Gold Coast. Good morning.
Yeah, good day, Margo.
Good. Were you the weird parent that did something, or did your parents do something weird to you when you were a kid?
Well, I didn't know if it was weird, but we sort of lived out in the bush on the farm. There was nothing much around.
Yeah. No, that's not weird. That's really normal, Shane.
It's Aussie.
When we had the flu or the cold, we'd have a sore throat. And Mum used to mix up a drop of kerosene and sugar and give it.
That's why you now sound like Anthony Seibold and Darren Lockyer, Shane.
How weird is that?
Stripped his throat.
Kero. Sugar. That's extraordinary. They were the only two products they had. Oh, can you give Shane a prize?
Sure. We'll give him a super wash at Hoppy's Hand Wash Cafe. I know it's raining right now, but, you know, you will need to clean your car at some point. Hoppy's Hand Wash Cafe opens 7 days a week with 10 sites throughout Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
You know when you hear that saying, people go, oh, would you like sugar with that? No, I'm sweet enough. Shane would be like, nah, just Kero. Give me the straight Kero, Mum.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town. Triple M.